we always have the communion elements out every Sunday, but usually once a month we kind of focus our time around that. And, you know, it's a time where we come together. You know, it's like we step out of the world that we live in, and hopefully as we take this bread and break this bread and take this cup, we're reminded that this world is not our home. Like, there is something beyond what we experience on a day-to-day basis. There is something that we are inside longing for. The scripture says that God's put eternity in our hearts. And it's a picture of that truth that Jesus died for us. That was a real event. His body was broken. His blood was shed. And for those of us who come to him by faith, we receive not only eternal life, but as we talked about last week, we'll talk a little bit more today, we're adopted as his children. And so it's a reminder that we're dearly loved children of God living out his mission on this earth. And when we breathe our last breath, it's not over. It's just a transition to eternity with him. And so so we're going to kind of culminate there this morning with that time of communion together. But before we do, I want to kind of, if you haven't been here the last couple weeks, catch you up on what we've been talking about. We're in between our sermon series. We usually go through books of the Bible. We took a little break after finishing up Corinthians after 8 or 9 months. And so we've been talking about kind of our life in Christ. And a couple of weeks ago, I read out of the book of Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul writes there, and he says, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, what you see in a person's life who's following Jesus and filled with the Spirit, are things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the things that the Spirit produces in our lives or should produce if we are followers of Jesus and filled with His Spirit. The Spirit produces the fruit. It's not so much that the Spirit gives me strength to be more loving or to be more kind. You know, like kind of grit it up and be better. That's not what it is. It's the Spirit actually produces kindness in me. The Spirit produces this love, this patience in us if we're filled with the Spirit. We talked about last week, like apple trees and orange trees. You don't see them stressing and straining to produce fruit, right? I mean, like fruit just happens because that's what happens on a fruit tree. And it should be the same way with our lives as we're walking with God and filled with the Spirit. And then last week, we really focused on talking about the love that God has for us. We talked about how his love has been shown to us in so many ways, but most importantly, in the gospel, the good news of Jesus coming and dying for our sins. And unfortunately, the gospel is often presented in more of a formulaic or kind of a transactional way. You know, like God sent his son to die for our sins, and if I put my faith and believe in him, then my sins will be forgiven, you'll go to heaven, you'll escape hell, be with God for eternity, right? And so that's the gospel that is often shared. And, you know, when you read the Bible and you read the message of Jesus and you see his life and you begin to understand that the gospel is actually way better than that, okay? There's a lot more to it than that. When we describe it just in those transactional terms, it's like describing marriage by saying, okay, marriage is it's a man and a woman becoming legally bound, okay? They're legally bound to one another. They live together for the rest of their lives. More than likely, they're going to have children, either of their own, or they'll adopt children. And when they do, then their lives are going to revolve around those children, right? And then they'll work the majority of their lives to support those kids. And then, eventually, they'll die together shortly after the kids move out, all right? So that's like marriage and family in a nutshell, if you're going to make it like formulaic. But that's not it, right? What about the love and the romance, the joy, the heartache, all those things that you experience, falling in love, being in love, the fullness that you experience in pouring into your kids and seeing them grow and seeing them go out? I mean, there's a lot more to it, right? The good news of the gospel is so much more than just missing hell and getting into heaven. So much more. Listen to Galatians 4. We read this last week. I'm going to read it again. Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you're no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God made you his heir. Now, when you read that, it's a lot more personal than this just like transaction of how to be saved, right? God sent his Son to buy freedom for those who were enslaved by the law. You know, you're going from slavery to freedom. I mean, that's personal. That affects your whole life here and now, not just when you die. The law was given, and God's people could not keep it perfectly. All right, so the law shows us how much we fall short. It basically reveals to us our sin, and we're enslaved to that because that's the law that we're supposed to keep. And none of us could. Only one person who ever walked the face of the earth kept the law perfectly, and that's Jesus. And that's why he is able to provide the sacrifice for us. And as he provides that sacrifice for us, and we put our faith in what he did, not what we do, it says God frees us from the law. And I love this part of it. It frees us from the law, and it says so that he could adopt us as his children. Like, I'm setting you free for a purpose, and here's the purpose. It's because I love you so much. I want you in my family. I want to adopt you. See, that's very personal. We talked about last week, like it's way more than a transaction. It's a lot more like a love story. Like this God in heaven that created everything, the universe, breathed everything into existence, spoke everything into existence, says he loves us and he wants us to be a part of his family, and he sets us free. Now, not free to do whatever we want, but free to live for him. Free to live apart from sin and to follow him and live for him. But free from the law. It's not hanging over our head any longer. Jesus removes our sin so we could be adopted into his family. I mean, just think about that. We're his dearly loved children. And his Spirit, it says, it prompts us. The Spirit of God that lives inside of us prompts us to cry out, Abba, Father, which is that intimate term like daddy. It's this intimacy. It's not something transactional like God did this so you could get here. No, God wants you as a part of his family. He loves you as a child, his dearly loved child. I want to encourage you, if you don't feel that, if it's not part of your experience, I want to encourage you to explore that a little bit further, because that scripture is real clear. And it's not just one scripture. It's all throughout the pages of the Bible. The love of God for his people and adopting us as his children. Brennan Manning has a great book called Abba's Child. If you want to dig a little further, a little deeper into that, I would encourage you to read that book. But the gospel is about love and adoption. And when we become a child of God, everything changes. Now, you don't immediately stop doing everything you once did, right? We've talked about it before. We're not, you know, like some mechanical robot where we just kind of hit the button and everything changes like that overnight. But things change in our heart, and everything changes between us and God. Everything changes between us and God. Now listen to this, Romans 8, verses 1 to 4, and I love this passage because it comes right after Romans 7, and in Romans 7, that's a famous chapter in the Bible where Paul's talking about his sin, and man, there's things I don't want to do, but I keep doing those, and there's things that I want to do, and I can't do that, and it's this battle of the flesh, and he's talking about how he fails, and then he says this in Romans 8, 1. Well, at the end of 7, he goes, who will save me from this body of death? And he says, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then in Romans 8, 1, he says this. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, let me just let that hang there for a minute. All right? I'm going to read the rest of this passage, but just hear that again. So now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ, your faith is in him, there is no condemnation. None. So if you sit there feeling condemned or this condemnation hanging over your head, that's not from God. And because you belong to him, verse 2, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. We're filled with the Spirit. We follow the Spirit. We're his children. And he says the law and the requirements of the law are fully satisfied in Jesus. So it's not about how much you measure up or how good you are. It's about how good he is and what he's done. He fulfilled the law, he says, and we've been given his Spirit. We've been set free from the power of sin and death. It no longer controls us. So in Christ, God did what we could never do. He sent his son as a sacrifice for our sin, and he did it so that the law would be fully satisfied for us. That's what that scripture says. It's like we had this invoice or this debt that was due to God, right? We have this invoice and God in Jesus pays it and stamps it paid in full, taken care of. When Jesus hung on the cross, most of us, a lot of us know this if you've been in church, when he hung on the cross, some of his last words were, "It is finished." Tetelestai. It was actually a marketplace term which they would stamp on things that said, basically, paid in full, taken care of. It's finished. And then we live like it's not quite finished. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's finished, but I got to do this, so that God will really love me. Now, finished means finished. It's done. This is good news, okay? This should be really good news for all of us. It's the gospel, and we should never shy away from it. No matter what religious people say, like, no, you can't say that. Like, I know it says it's finished, and I know that Jesus satisfied the law, but you still need to. It's more like, no, now I get to. Now, I mean, God loves me. I see his love. I experience. I'm his child. Now I get to live for him. And I live from that place of love, and it's a whole different deal than, like, living with this rule book hanging over my head, like, man, you don't follow that, and you're basically, I can't say that term in church, but you're in trouble, right? The law is good. It's good in doing what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to show us how messed up we are. Like, I can't obey that all. I can't. Maybe you think you can, but trust me, you can't. I mean, if someone crawled inside your head and heart for just a little bit, that'd be a scary place. It'd be a scary place. And I'm gonna tell you now, it would be scary if you crawled inside my head and heart for a day. And God goes, you can't do it. That's why I sent Jesus. And the law is good because it reveals how much we don't measure up, and it shows us we need Jesus. Listen to Romans 3, 19 to 20. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given. For its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. Okay, it shows us that. Verse 20, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. So the law does what it's intended to do perfectly. It shows you that you're messed up. Shows me that I'm messed up. And it shows me that I need God, that I need Jesus. That's what it was intended to do. That's what it does. And it does it today for all of us. But here's the thing. It was never intended to put us in right standing with God because you couldn't live up to it. You'd have to live up to it perfectly to be in right standing with God. And only one person ever did that, and that's Jesus. And that's why he could make that perfect sacrifice. So it was never intended to put us in right standing with God. The law is like one of those mirrors that the ladies have in the bathroom, right? Those little circular mirrors that magnify everything 1,000 times. I don't know why y'all have those things. It's number one, they're weird, and who wants to see a zit that looks the size of a basketball when you look in there? Like, you know, but here's the thing. You look in that mirror, right, and you got, boom, everything so close, and every flaw. The mirror can't fix that, and you really can't either. Now, you could paint over it, do whatever you do, but you can't really fix it, right? It's not what the mirror's supposed to do, right? But it reveals it. That's what the law does. It shows you your flaws, things you can't fix, and you say, I desperately need Jesus. I desperately, desperately need Jesus. So listen to the rest of this passage, Romans 3, verses 21 to 22. Paul goes on, he goes, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. So it's not about keeping the law, but he shows us a way to be made right without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. Verse 22, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. See, God shows us a way to be made right with him, and it's not through keeping the law. We're made right with God by our faith in Jesus. And it's true for everyone, it says. Now that's mind-blowing good news. Like, I don't have to be good enough. I put my faith in Jesus, and all the requirements of the law are fulfilled in him. God says, come, be my child. I love you. There's nothing that's hindering our relationship because of what Jesus has done. And I think most of us say, yeah, I believe that. You know, that's what we believed when we came to faith. People told us, God loves you unconditionally. Jesus died for your sins. Put your faith in him. God loves you just as you are. Come to him. And we believe that to be true. We put our faith in Jesus, and then somewhere along the way, like the church or some people we hang out with, they like do a little bait and switch on us. Like, it starts off with God's unconditional love, and it's like, it's kind of like being invited to someone's house for a steak dinner. You know, like you get invited over, hey, we're going to come over for steak. Awesome, I'm in. Steak, meat on the grill, I'm in. So you go, and you have this awesome steak dinner. And when you finish the steak dinner, your friend turns to you and says, listen, that was good, wasn't it? Yeah, man, that was good. Well, listen, I've got something that's so much better than that. It's life-changing, and I want to share it with you. And then he launches into the multi-level marketing thing that he's doing, right? Anyone ever been to one of those things? And you're going, dude, I came for the steak, right? Like, I came for the steak. How did all of a sudden I end up in this place, and now you're telling me about whatever it is? You know, that's kind of what happens with the gospel sometimes. We're told, you know, God loves us. He loves you unconditionally. And it sounds great. Like, I'm in. I'm in for that. And then once you cross the line of faith and enter the church, the message changes. Now you need to make sure you please God or else. And you better make sure you stay away from these particular sins. These are really bad ones. And if you don't stay away from those, God might actually change his mind and send you to hell. Like, dude, I came for the steak. Like, what happened to the unconditional love? What happened that I thought, you know, why did he love me back here when I was running away from him, getting high, doing all these crazy things, and he loved me unconditionally? Now I'm here and I'm just trying to live right, but now I gotta, like, man, I better walk the line or he might throw me into hell. What kind of loving God is that? It's an unbiblical God that the church portrays more often than not, and it does shame to the truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus and what he's done. It minimizes the blood of Jesus, his body broken on the cross, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. So the message becomes, if you want to stay in God's good graces, now you do this, and love suddenly becomes very conditional instead of unconditional. Paul says we're not made right by obeying the law. So I want to just say this to you today. if you're not made right by obeying the law, if you're not saved by obeying the law, you're not kept right by obeying the law once you're saved. You understand what I'm saying? Like if the law doesn't make me right with God, the law doesn't keep me right with God either. See, I am made right with God because of what Jesus has done. And I am kept in a right relationship with God because of what Jesus has done. And I trust in that. And Paul says it's only by faith. So it's by faith in that. Now, is the law good? Yes. Should we follow it? Yes. God gave it to us. It is the best possible way to live. That's why it's there. But it doesn't hang over my head. Like if I miss it in a way, you know, I miss it in some way, now all of a sudden condemnation awaits me. No. For there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when I blow it, and I will, and when you blow it, and you will, God says, man, I love you. Get up. Clean off that. I told you not to ride the skateboard without shoes on. And he cleans, you know, he cleans up the knee, says, I love you, hugs you, prays for you. That's what we do with our kids, right? I think that's what God does. So it's not like all of a sudden he's mad, angry, and turns into some crazy God that's not even talked about in Scripture. Now, how much time we got? We're running out of time. But I'm going to do this. All right, I'm going to share this. It's kind of debating whether or not to share this, but I'm going to. All right, so God's grace is given to us. It's not what we deserve, right? He loves us. He invites us into his family. He adopts us as his children. If I see him as a loving father, it changes everything. It changes the way I see life. It changes the way I see the struggles and trials that I face in life. Just recently, I had gone through and had some tests, some physical tests over the last year and a half, and my doctor was concerned about blood work that he was looking at, and specifically my PSA levels, which indicates prostate cancer, or can. And so over the last year and a half, that had raised some concern. Finally came back from a great vacation with my family. You know, they said, let's do another test in 60 days. Pretty confident that it was going to be better. I go in there, and like my level jumped like 50%. And he's like, you're way out of range. Something's going on. We need to do a biopsy. And so I said, all right, what does that entail? He told me. I was like, dude. But anyhow, I got to do it. So we did it. So did the biopsy, and they take 12 samples. And, you know, you wait 2 days. And I remember when he told me they were going to do the biopsy, Roxanne was out with the kids. They were on at Itchituckney on the river. I went home. I just took some time alone, was doing some painting, talking to God. And it was just something like this, like, God, really? Like, really? That's my initial, like, why? What, you know, like, I'm actually, like, trying to serve you here. Like, I know I'm not perfect. Like, I'm messed up. I got all these things. But I'm trying to serve you, and you know, all these things. So I just having this conversation with God. I'm just sharing it with you a little bit, and you know, and it was like I didn't hear God's voice or anything like that, but I'm sitting there, and it was like all of a sudden I started getting flooded with these thoughts of just the goodness in my life. Like I started thinking about back in my 20s, the stupid stuff I was doing, and the many times I just did really stupid stuff that I could have died or could have been in jail as a result. And now I'm here, married to a beautiful wife, 27 years. I have kids that I love and this family and just the goodness. Like, so I'm thinking about that. And then my next thought is, yeah, exactly. Like, I don't want to leave them. What are you doing? You know, like, I'm just being real, right? I'm just being real. And like, what's going on? And it was just that reminder of the stuff that I've always known, that I preach on, I love you, I'll never leave you, forsake you, trust me. And, you know, do you believe what you're preaching? Now, when all this was going on, we're in 1 Corinthians, the end of 1 Corinthians is all about death and resurrection. I don't know if you remember that, like, eternal life, it's all about that. Like, God's, you know, pounding it into my head and heart. Do you believe it? Is it real? I'm like, yeah, I believe it. I know it because I look at my life and the way that my life has changed and I've seen God do miraculous things around me. It's real. And then you just trust. And I know he loves me. So these thoughts that will come in like, what did I do wrong? You know, it's like, no, you didn't do anything wrong. The rain falls on the wicked and the good, and God never intended for the world to be filled with sickness and disease the way it is. It's not how it was in the garden. That's what happened after sin came in. And one day it will not be like that anymore. There's going to be a whole new beginning. All of that will be past, and there'll be no more tears, all of that stuff. And there's still a part of me that goes, yeah, but I want to hang out here with these people, with my family. And I think I just felt like God says, you know, I know that. And I really feel like it's like God, but no, I said this last week, like when our hearts break over things, I think God's does. I think God's like, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're facing that. It's not that. Now, could he intervene at any moment? Sure he could. But even in his intervention, if there's healing, you know, even in the intervention, it's only temporary. We're all going to breathe our last breath one day. So my test came back, and thankfully, there was no cancer found in those 12 samples, which I praise God for that. But the reality is, yeah, you praise God for that. But here's the thing. That's not everybody's answer, right? There's people in this room, but that's not your answer. And I still have the joy of, hey, come back in 9 months, and we got to see, because that doesn't answer why my levels are where they're at and all that stuff. So, you know, you just walk through that. But if the backdrop of your story is a God who loves you and accepts you, not because of what you do, how good you are, any of those things, but based on the merit of his son who gave his life, it just changes everything. You don't sit there and go, you know, oh God, why me? What did I do? I said this last week, or I said to some degree last week. You might discipline your children because you love them and you want them to stay on track, so we might discipline them, but none of us are going to throw a death sentence at our kids. None of you would throw, I hope not, cancer on your kids to get them where you would want them to be. And I don't believe God does that. He might allow those things in a broken, messed up world. But here's the promise. And Levi, you guys can come up. He works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So somehow, some way, he'll work it for the good. And I'll tell you, as much as I hate to think it, or I don't know how he would work that to the good. But if it took me going out a little early for one of my kids to really fall in love with Jesus, so be it. You know, because this is all temporary. It really is. And so I just thought I'd give you a little window into my life the last month or so. And you're welcome. So here's the question. Do you really know that you're loved? Do you know who you are? Remember at Jesus' baptism, Jesus goes to John, he gets baptized, and all of a sudden this really crazy thing happens. Like all of a sudden they hear this voice from heaven. It's the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is my son in whom I am well pleased, right? And then Jesus goes and does everything he does. He knew who he was. He knew where he came from. And he knew where he was going. And that's my question for all of us today. Do you know who you are? Do you know where you came from? Do you know where you're going? Do you know that you're loved? If you would stand, we're gonna close with a song. We'll do through the Amazing Grace. And when we do, communion is on either side. There's communion in the back. Take a moment and just with the people around you, family, whoever you're with, take that bread, take that cup, maybe get off to the side, and take a moment to just share a little bit of life and what's going on, and pray for one another. Maybe meditate on this. Do you know who you are as a dearly loved child of God? Let's pray, and then the band's gonna do this song. You guys make your way to the communion tables, and then we'll just finish up a little time of worship. But let's pray. God, thank you that you love us. God, just as we are, messed up, frail, flawed, all of our stuff. God, forgive us the times where we we shift our belief from faith to this mindset of works, and somehow we just get twisted in our thinking. Religion comes in and puts this burden on us that you never wanted us to carry. God, I pray you'd just let us lay it at your feet right now. As we take this bread, just a reminder of Jesus' body that was broken, and this cup, a reminder of the blood that was shed. It was shed for a reason. It was a sacrifice for us who couldn't live up to the law. And so, God, our hope is in that. It's not in who we are in and of ourselves or what we do. It's in you, and it's only by faith in what you've done. Remind us of that. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for this amazing grace and amazing love that we have in Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. As you feel led, go ahead and make your way to the communion tables.